Come on, give God praise in this place. Hallelujah. We love him, we bless him, and we honor his name. Put those hands together. He's a wonderful God. Let's say it. Here we go.
God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He is overcome. Yes,
he is overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here.
Christ.
giving praise in this place? Do me a favor, go shake hands with two people and say, we're going to praise him like never before. Amen. Yeah. So this time we're going to move and sing. demonstrate to the world as we stand as surrogate worshipers for the people in France. We stand as surrogate worshipers for the people in Nigeria as we say, oh Lord, 1, 2, 3, oh Lord,
oh Lord,
we pray.
We praise you.
Come on, say it.
Oh Lord,
we pray.
We praise you.
Lift up all of your
name. Oh Lord,
we pray.
We praise you.
Oh Lord, oh Lord,
oh Lord,
we praise.
We praise.
Somebody scream.
I love you. you forever. Oh,
let's tell him.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
We'll worship you.
We'll worship forever.
Everyone.
We'll worship forever.
Yes, we will.
We'll worship.
Yes, we will.
Forever.
Evermore.
Lord.
God, we'll worship your name.
We'll worship.
Yes.
Forever.
Every day, God.
We'll worship.
We'll worship
forever.
Every second, God.
We'll worship.
Yes, God.
Forever. Lord.
Now, for 30 seconds, let's worship. Worship him. Worship him in this place. Worship you in this place, oh God. Come on, don't stand there and meditate, but open your mouth and worship him. Open your mouth and worship him. Speak to him like you're speaking to your husband. He is your God. Wonderful Counselor God. Prince of Peace, Lord. We give him the glory. To worship you, I live. To worship you. What I live to do, God, to worship you. Let's tell it, to worship you, oh God.
To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
I live to worship you, God. Oh, oh, oh.
To worship you, I live.
To worship.
To worship.
Worship you every day.
To worship you, I live.
To worship you.
To worship you, I live. I live to worship you.
Now, some of us in here, we're not the greatest speakers of our day. And it may be hard to conjure up something to tell your God. Some of us in here, we can talk all day about God. But there's a part of this song that can be for everyone. When you don't have nothing else to say, the old timers would get in corners and get on prayer benches, and they would begin to moan in the spirit. And you didn't have to say much to the God. You could just moan and groan in the spirit. And it would sound something like this. Oh, oh, oh. Understands what you mean.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh.
We say,
oh, 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 oh.
There might be times in your life where you don't feel like talking much, but you can say,
oh, oh, oh.
Tears are coming down your face. God. God knows what you mean and what you say. Oh, oh. Right there, no music. Oh, oh, oh. From the front to the back, let's all cry out to God and say, oh, oh, oh. Let that be your cry. Say real sweet, to worship you.
To worship you I live. To worship you I live. I live to worship you.
To worship you.
To worship you I live. To worship you.
Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Worship you, Jesus. The one thing to learn as you're coming into church and you're coming into worship is you got to understand that the greatest thing the enemy can do for your life is to keep you out of worship. Because it's there is the refreshing. The word refreshes your spirit, but worship refreshes your soul. It washes you and cleanses you. It's amazing. Many of us don't even think about this stuff. But the enemy knows what we're preaching this morning. And so I've been just fighting since I think it was 5 a.m. I was up. A spirit of chaos. Some of you, just your whole morning has been chaotic. I mean, abnormally chaotic. It was everything to get you even here. Some people haven't even made it because of the chaos that's going on in your life. And you're saying to yourself, why do I feel just so uneasy? Why do I feel so chaotic? Why does it feel like I just want to just stop for a second? You need to recognize that he's trying to keep you distracted from being in the house of God and worshiping. So you got to arrest that chaos. You don't allow your emotions to control you, and you never allow a spirit to control you except the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when you start feeling, when you come to the house of God and it's really hard to worship, you got to position yourself in the spirit. You got to say, God, I don't know what it is that's holding me back, but I refuse to hold back from worshiping you. Amen. You deserve all of my praise and you deserve all of my worship. And I refuse. I'm going to posture myself. You understand? Turn to someone and say, you are powerful. That is a fact. You are powerful. Amen. You are powerful. You're a son and daughter of God. You need to recognize that anything the enemy can do to keep you from worshiping, and it's usually chaos. Your life is chaotic. You get to church and it's like you're rushing around like a chicken with your head cut off. Sometimes you just need to go like this. In Jesus' name, I just speak peace to my soul. I speak peace to my mind. God, I will worship you with everything that's in me. Amen. Amen. The Lord wants to heal two people this morning. Now, these are very specific, and I know they're not life-threatening, but someone's been praying for something, and God's going to confirm your answer by this word of knowledge. If you'll put your foot down on your ankle, it's one finger span on the inside ankle, 1 inch over near the top. You have pain in that specific location, and God is going to heal you right now. And what he's showing you, you can feel it right now. Go ahead. You'll feel the pain. It's already gone on me, so I know it's going to be gone on you. So what happens is this, is that God will sometimes just say, listen, if I can heal that little ankle that you weren't even thinking about, you've been dealing with all your life, what can I do in what you've been praying for? Amen? There's another individual. If you took your right knee and you use it as a clock, it's 10 o'clock. It's right at this point right here. And you have pain just on that point. I can't understand. All I know is I can tell you what God's showing me. And God is healing that. That is, again, another person. You've been praying for answers. I think in my spirit, I believe that's a person who's been doubting even if God is alive. And God is just showing you right now that he is alive and real. He even knows the very point of your knee that there's pain. God loves to touch you. I said Jesus loves to touch you. He loves you so very much. You're so important to him. Turn to someone and say, you are so important to Jesus. Why don't you go find five people this morning? And don't you sit down if you're out there. Don't sit down. Everybody stand up. Find five people and say, you are so important to Jesus.
To worship you. To worship you.
To worship you, I live to worship you.
change. I've run too far to still be the same. See who I was, I give him away. Today, today.
Hey HT, we have something really awesome coming up November 22nd, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And also we're having a night service at 6:30 p.m. Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth, he's coming in to preach a powerful message about salvation, about the kingdom of God and how we are living in the end times. So make sure that you invite your friends, invite your family, and be here the weekend of November 22nd. Again, 9 a.m., 11 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. We'll see you here.
I know, boy, catch the vision.
Oh. I'm here for Catch the Vision. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. We want you to come in. We want you to hear the heart of the pastor. It's just amazing the miracles and wonders that occurred on how his Tabernacle Family Church got started. So we'll see you there, Classroom 1 at 10:30, Sunday.
Hallelujah. Ooh.
Hey, HC family. I'm excited to welcome you to the new and improved His Tabernacle Cafe. We will now be offering to you espresso with the holiday flavors of peppermint. Pumpkin, and gingerbread. If you're not an espresso fan, we still have our freshly brewed coffee. We also have muffins, bagels, and breakfast sandwiches you can have with your coffee. If you're interested in some snack items, we have those as well. We have Starburst, we have gum, whatever you may want, I'm pretty sure we're gonna have it here. So make sure that you stop by the cafe before service starts and after service concludes. Get your espresso, get your coffee, get your water, enjoy a muffin, and enjoy the fellowship in the foyer.
How many wouldn't mind a muffin right now? Jesus, help us all. Praise the Lord. I love a muffin. Praise the God. I don't know about you. I'm excited about the house of the Lord. I love being here. I love learning. How many of you love learning? Learning is so powerful. It changes our lives. You have a compilation over the last 5 years of the information that was put into you. You'd be blown away on how many people have never grown. We have folks that have come to this church or are coming now that have said, Pastor, I've been born again 40 years. I've never heard some of these principles. We want you to know that our goal at His Tabernacle is to keep you smart. Turn to someone and say, don't want to be dumb. You don't want to be dumb. You want to be smart. You want to understand God's principles and live in blessing. Now, for some of you, this is just religion, and that's okay. You know, you'll slide into the river soon enough. But for those that this is your passion to really know God, you're going to find that your life will transform by the Word of God. Amen? Do you mind if I give you some testimonies? How many of you gave seed last week to the children's ministry? Oh, my goodness, I got great. $7,200 came in last Sunday morning for the seed. Now watch, we have absolutely not a penny left. We were able to purchase, and I don't think it's here yet, but they purchased all of the tables, all of the chairs, the TVs, the DVDs, and everything for those rooms, all the chairs. They had to order more chairs. Let me tell you what happened on Thursday night. The very first night these rooms out here in the back were open. Now listen, if you haven't taken a tour yet, right after service, you need to go after you go to Catch the Vision. You need to go right out back and look at the rooms. And I walked in there on Thursday night, and this is what I was told. Pastor, we're out of room. Pastor, we're out of room. Pastor, we don't have enough chairs. Pastor, we're out of tables. Pastor, and then one kid said, what did he say? Was it Kool-Aid? We're out of juice, I think he said. We're out of juice, too. I grabbed one of their hot dogs and ate it. Glory to Jesus. But it's exciting. That whole back area that we just built, Jesus already filled it. Amen. Now, that's one awesome testimony, isn't it? This week, we got a phone call. I believe it was last week we got a phone call. Where's Daniel Snowman? Is he in the room? Daniel Snowman is a beast when it comes to the bus ministry. I think he's 12 or 14 years old. He's just a beast. He's pushing this. He's always sending us messages. Pastor, we need this bus. Pastor, we need this bus. Pastor, here's another bus for you to check out. We need another bus. And I keep saying, Daniel, we've got to get the ones we have painted and everything first. Daniel, let's go. There is Daniel right there. Daniel, wave at everybody. So Daniel Snowman sent us another post. He said, Pastor, you need to check this bus out. So, of course, I forwarded it on. And David Zink called the company and said, listen, you want $15,000 for it. Here he is. You want $15,000 for this bus, but we are only going to offer you $5,000. And the company says, no, we can't do that. But we've been trying to reach you. And we said, what? Well, we bought a bus there, I think 2 years ago. They said, we've been trying to reach you. We have a company out in California that has a bus here that they want to donate. And you've been doing so much with the children. We want to donate a $70,000 bus to you. Isn't that awesome? So we have already running this morning, on Sunday morning, a $70,000 bus was donated to His Tabernacle Family Church. And it's right out front. So if you get a chance right after service, you want to look. It even has a toilet. I like toilets, even in buses. You can mess up a lot of people's lives that way, can't you? Amen. So we want to thank Daniel for his persistence, his vision. If you don't know it, he's already got the bus garage already built on paper, and he's got the fleet of buses. He's going to own his own bus company, and he says, you can borrow some of my buses. I said, that's all right. We love you. Thank you. So we just want to thank all of those who are working with this. We bus in about 220 children every single week, and now with another bus, that adds another 20 children we can bus in. And I'm just believing God that we are going to have on Thursday nights. Now, last week, we were able to minister to 1,083 people, individuals, we don't count twice, have come through these doors in 1 week. 1,083 people. I'm believing God, and I need you to believe with me. I'm believing God for 1,000 people per service. This is what I'm believing for. Easter, every single service. Not every single Sunday, every single service. And then I'm believing God. I was praying. I said, Father, we need 500 on Thursdays. And the Lord said to me, what do you mean? Cody's been asking me for more than that just for the teenagers. So I said, Father, we'll believe God for another 1,000 people, another 1,000 people and children every Thursday night. Amen? How many of you can believe God with me for that? I just know that God loves people, don't you? Some people say, oh, Pastor, all you want is a big church. Well, you haven't been around me at all then. Because this is not about growing church. Because if I want to grow a church, I'm not going to be in the north. We are growing people. Amen. We are building God's kingdom. We are seeing God's changed lives. How many of you have been saved in this church? God's changed your life in this church. Look at all the hands all over the place. Look at all the... God changes lives. And we just get the privilege of participating with His vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we want to thank you for your sowing and your giving. You are such an amazing people. And you know, I just want to challenge you. Right now, 15% of His Tabernacle Family Church tithe. I want to challenge you to be a tither. You know, if you've never tithed, this is the time the Bible says, this is the only place in the scripture, actually, where God says, test me in this thing. I challenge you to be a tither. Now, don't tithe for 2 weeks, because you got to realize, what's that? What do you got? Daniel Snowman is having a bake sale for buses. So Kay says that everything on that table, you should double the price. Amen. We need to mark our buses so they know who we are. So I want to challenge you. If you never tithe, this is your moment. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I'm going to be a tither. Now listen, if you've never tithed and in your heart you're not ever going to tithe, I challenge you to give at least $10 a week. Everybody here can give $10 a week. I could say $10,000 a week. That is possible. $10 a week. What that does for us is that it enables us to minister to more people. There's a rumor going around that I live in a mansion. No, really, we just heard it again this week. The pastor, well, a few weeks ago, I lived in a mansion on the lake. This last week, I only live in a mansion. Well, I know, what are you going to do, man? I got demoted. I want you to know that my wife and I live in a very nice home. Our house cost us a total of $79,000. We bought that house back 15 years ago. We actually tried to sell it this year, and we had a serious problem. Because we love our house so much, we don't really want to sell our house, but we do want some more land. And so we actually just took it off the market not too long. My poor sister, she worked so hard to sell the thing. We took it off the market. We love our house. So listen, we don't live in a mansion. We don't put our hands in the till. My wife and I don't even see who gives in this church and who doesn't. We only tithers we know in this church are our staff, because if you don't tithe as a staff member, you're fired. Can I hear an amen? If they don't believe it, why should you? And so we don't know anything about the giving, except at the end of the day, we get a little note that says, this is what came in, and we need to know whether we need to pray or dance. And I like the dancing part. Makes it so much easier. So I want to thank you. Turn to someone and say, thank you for being a tither, being a seeder. Thank you for being a giver. Now let's all stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for blessing us with money. God, people say a life is all about money, and they are absolutely right. Everything that we do surrounds money. God, it is nothing more than paper, nothing more than trade. But God, we ask in the name of Jesus that as we are tithers and we are sowers, that God, you will increase the paper in our life, that Father, we may have more opportunity to bless more people, God, even to be in enjoying our own lives, that Lord, we don't have to live every week, week by week, just surviving. I thank you that you want to bless us abundantly above all we could ask or imagine. I call forth raises. I call forth new businesses. I call forth, God, increase, Lord, in ways they never thought. Money coming in the mail in the name of Jesus. Father, even let the government pay people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, God, that you'll do great and mighty things. As we give, we bless you in Jesus' name. Why don't you come and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering? Can't wait for heaven. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? As good as that sounds right here, can you imagine what it's going to be like in heaven? Come on, why don't you give the worship team a hand clap and say thank you so much. You know, many of you don't know how many hours they put in and how much time it takes. We have a guest coming next week. We have Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth coming back to be with us next Sunday morning. The ushers are passing out to you right now what's called the Lost Lamb Covenant, as well as we also have invitations for next Sunday. We are going to be next Sunday morning at 9 and 11 with Brother Tiff, and also Sunday night at 6 p.m. So there's a special service next Sunday night. Now watch what this is. Brother Tiff, we had him in last year. Brother Tiff moves and is powerful within the Shuttlesworth family, but also has had a great anointing with Brother Billy Graham. How many of you ever heard of Billy Graham? He's on Brother Billy Graham's board. I didn't know if you knew that or not. And powerful, what's that? Oh, yeah, Billy Graham's right up there. He's at least 27. And we're excited to have Brother Tiff because we want to see your friends get saved. How many of you know at least five people that are going to hell?
Well, I'm not sure.
Well, look at their life. It's not hard to figure out. Unless you're living like them, so then you don't want to. So if you know at least five people, do you realize the person you hate the most is the one you won't share Christ with? Because you want to damn them. Listen, if you won't share Christ with somebody, then ultimately you're saying, I don't care of your eternity. So what we're doing is we have a Lost Lamb Covenant right here, and it has seven slots for your friends. What I want you to do is put their names down in those places, and I want you to start praying for them every day. Amen? And then what we want you to do is next Sunday, we want you to invite five people to church. I believe we're going to have a phenomenal harvest of souls next week. Amen? So this is really easy. They're very nicely done. It shows the time. It shows the location, the website. All of it's right there. They're very well done. Take at least five of them and get them out to your friends. How many of you will give at least five out to your friends? Not many of you. So either you don't love your friends or you don't like Brother Tiff. How many of you will hand out at least five of these to your friends? Amen. Look at, we got a little bit more. Huh? You only took one? For goodness sakes, you got a stinking case of them, for goodness sakes. All right, we need the ushers to pass out. Just take a pile of them and put them down in the rows. You can't run out. Take a pile of them. I need the ushers to go grab piles of those. Brother Tiff's faith is high. I want to fill this. We need, where is Pastor Obi and Pastor Cody and Minister Randall? Get up and go grab those cards and please pass them out. Thank you. I love the eyeballs staring at me. We need to move on. Amen? So how many of you are going to give at least five? Oh, that's better. That's better. That's better. How many of you give two? I'm going to do it. Five. How many will give 10? How many will give 10 out? Make sure you grab enough of them then and hand them out. And they're also at the hub. We don't want any left when he comes this week. He sent us a box. I'm talking, I think the shipping itself was almost $60 just for shipping in them. So, I mean, it's a big box. They're well done, and we want to invite our friends, and you will love him. Amen? I said amen. What a great day. So don't worry. The ushers are going to be moving around while I'm preaching the gospel. I'm good with that. As long as you don't get distracted, I won't. Today is a phenomenal message and really powerful. We talked last week concerning the kingdom of God and that God called you to be free. Turn to someone and say, God wants you free. One of the things we found is that a lot of people get born again, but a lot of people don't stay. Now, I'm not talking in church. I'm talking with God. It's not just how you start, you got to finish. It's not just how you start, you got to finish. It's not just how you start, you got to finish. And a lot of people don't finish well. And I want to encourage you. How many of you have ever heard of the parable of the sower and the seed? The Bible says the seed is the word of God. It's talking about people getting saved. Take piles of them. Just hand them down the aisles. We don't need to count out five. Just grab piles and hand them down the aisles. No. Take piles. Okay, I'm going to give really good instruction. Take piles of them and hand them down the aisles. Not. I need the postcards. Piles in the aisles. Thank you very much. Piles in the aisles. Need everybody to have at least five. Praise the Lord. If you're watching by live stream, we want to welcome you. We have a live stream church, really, but almost 100 people every week watch us live stream. That's computers. That doesn't count people. There's probably 100 to 150 people watching every single week by live stream all over the world. We want to welcome. Let's give our live stream church a hand clap right now. Say thank you for watching and participating. You are the family of His Tabernacle. If you're local, we curse your TV that it will break in your computer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, then they have to come, right? Amen. Or buy a new TV. You just see, we'll curse your computer, it will break, and then you'll go buy a new one when you could have been tithing. Dear Jesus, what's going on? So today I want to talk to you about deliverance. You see, it's not just enough for you to be free. Jesus wants to set your spirit free. When you get saved, Jesus washes your sins away. But he also wants you to be free from the diabolical. Now, a lot of Christians don't like to talk about demons. But whether you like it or not, they're very real. As I piles, take piles. Don't count just piles and hand them. Piles and hand. There you go. Piles. Very good. So today, we want to continue what we started last week. This is the year of the kingdom. And the king has salvation and freedom for you. How many people have started their walk with God and then have been dragged back to their old life? I can't even count it. I can't even, honestly, I cannot count how many people have started off all excited about Christ and then over a short period of time are right back where they began. The parable of the sower and the seed, the two portions, the two beginnings, are the responsibility of the person that leads them to Christ. They need understanding and they need to be grounded. But I have found that many people get grounded, they have an understanding of their salvation, but what ends up happening is when the race of faith, when the fight of faith has to continue, they shrink back and they go back to their old style. Why is that? Well, some of you, it's because you have a diabolical spirit. There is an actual demon spirit that is working against an assignment in your life to keep you from following Christ. Now, we're not a demon hunter church. We don't call everything demons. There aren't shoes of demons, ears of demons. No, we're not talking any of that. But there are demon spirits. Now, last week we covered some of them, and it was very clear the ones we went through. But this week I want to cover two more categories of demon spirits that keep people from continuing to go forward in Christ. You and I have the power and authority. Shout, I've got the power. Shout, I got the authority. Shout in the name of Jesus. Every demon must flee. But you see, if you do not recognize it is a spirit, if you do not recognize the wiles of the devil, if you do not recognize the devices and the ploys of the enemy in your life, you'll always attribute it to life and circumstances or just your flesh, when literally there is a spirit that is trying to destroy your life. We know that in John chapter 10, verse 10, the devil's come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know there is an enemy, and he is defeated. Can I hear an amen? The devil is under your feet. Can I hear an amen? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Can I hear an amen? But if you are not attentive, if you do not have perception, if you do not have discernment, then you can be overcome by a spirit and not even know it. So today I want to talk about these things because I believe in the year of the kingdom, the king wants his citizens free. Can I hear an amen? So Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is our verse for the year. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. John chapter 8, verse 36 makes a declaration. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Now, we came to the conclusion scripturally last week that a Christian cannot be possessed by a demon, but a Christian can be oppressed by a demon. Oppression means a demon can attach to you. A demon can strongly influence in you. A demon can actually afflict your physical body. A demon has supernatural power. Now listen, you have more than they. There is no reason for fear, but the truth is that if you are ignorant of his devices, then you will never step into the freedom that God has for you. You will constantly be battling a battle with your flesh and yet never seeing success. And God says, with just one mention of my name, with binding the devil, casting that spirit off, you can be free from these struggles that have come into your life. Last week we talked about the demon of infirmity, how some sicknesses are caused by demonic spirits, how we talked about the unclean devils, about addictions that come into our lives. We talked about the spirit of fear, for the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's depression, fear, phobias, and anxieties. Today I want to talk to you about the spirit of witchcraft. Just in the last few months, this month, we've had this rise up in our community again. And today it's important for the Christian to understand what this means. The truth and understanding about the diabolical is imperative for you to know what's going on. Many people don't understand the psychic. They don't understand the mediums. They don't understand fortune tellers, tarot cards, tea leaves, Reiki, and familiar spirits. But it's important that you do. That demon looks like he's got a load in his britches. See, that spirit started off with just a medium. But you need to understand that when you follow the devil, when you literally go into the devil's domain, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, you give the devil a foothold. The moment you open yourself up to spirits, the spirit that's on the medium, the spirit that's on the psychic, will jump onto you. Now, you need to hear this. We had a whole arena filled with people going to see a psychic. Well, it was just for fun. You're ignorant. Because what you don't understand is that's not a game to the medium. That's not a game to the psychic. That's not a game to the fortune teller. That's not a game in the diabolical. That is not a game to Satan. His desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. There is no other design of the enemy. His passion is that you will allow him to jump from one to the other so that you will be in bondage to the spirit of witchcraft. There is a demonic spirit that goes with witchcraft. If you've not taken any time to read the Old Testament, you need to. Well, why is that? Because the diabolical is just as real as the angelic. And the diabolical, the demonic realm, desires to hold you back from God's greatness. And as God is your king, can I hear an amen? Well, I don't understand that psychic stuff. I just don't think it's bad. I'm going to do it anyways. Let me tell you something. Whether you understand it or not, the word of God is clear. To obey is better than sacrifice. We have a lot of believers, a lot of Christians that have played with the witchcraft of this world, and they constantly struggle in their spiritual life. I'm going to tell you why. When you swing open the door to psychics, witchcraft, fortune telling, Reiki, with all these diabolical principles, you invite a demon spirit to come participate with your life. Now you need to hear that. People don't like that. Can I have that nasty looking demon come out first? Can I just have that nasty looking demon come over here? You are ugly. The moment you open the door, you are saying to this demon spirit, now listen now, we cannot make a demon gruesome enough. The first time you actually see a real one, you won't go, well, that's cute. It'll scare the living hell out of you. It should. But what happens is the moment you open the door, you have said to the Spirit, I want you to participate with my life. I want you to come into my life. I want you to walk with me. I want you to direct me. Now, there's a woman that my wife and I know. She grew up and she lives in our area and actually commented on some of the stuff. And she was a young lady who was brought to the psychics community up in Freeville, New York. She was raised with Native American spirits. And actually, she was assigned a demon spirit at a very young age. And that spirit's job was to be her guide. Now, you might say that's crazy. That's just nuts. Listen, I went to a school once when I was pastoring up in Ithaca and sat down and talked to the headmaster. And the headmaster told me this: we assign a spiritual guardian to every one of these children that sit under our tutelage. What happens is this: when you open yourself up, you're now telling this spirit, who only has three purposes, to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. That's only purpose a demon spirit has. That you have invited that demon into your life and saying, I want you to guide me. I want you to direct me. I want you to keep me. I want you to tell me what to do. Now, you might not realize that's what you did when you go to a psychic. You might not realize that's what you've done, but let me show you what you've done. You've allowed that demon spirit to now latch onto your life. I had two ladies, they came to this church. They got saved in this church. They walked over to me and they said, well, I believe in psychics and I go to them all the time. And I said, well, then you're a fool. And they said, well, that's just not nice of you, Pastor. I see nothing wrong with it. I showed them in the Word of God and it mattered nothing to them. Let me tell you, neither of them are following Jesus today. Why is that? Because you cannot invite the enemy of God to participate with your life and expect that you're going to get good results. You cannot invite the demonic into your life and expect you're going to get a good result. Well, I just went for the fun of it. I just go to the mediums for the fun of it. I just go to the psychics for the fun of it. It's not fun to them. They know what they're doing. The problem is, if you don't, ignorance isn't bliss. You've then said to that spirit, hey, you hang on, baby. We're going to go hang out. Wherever I go, I want you to go. Oh, that psychic told me this. Make sure you have that happen now. That demon will tether to you, will hold you. Some of you played with it when you were children. You played with Ouija boards. One girl I knew, she got demon-possessed, and she was 4'11". Her name was Tina. 4'11", demon-possessed, playing with a Ouija board, because you're actually allowing the spirit to enter into your physical body. Folks, there's certain things you don't play with on this world. Now, how many of you want him hanging out with you? How many of you want him directing you? Well, I'm born again, Pastor. I can't be possessed. That's right, you can't be. But the voice you listen the most to and you submit to is the one that you'll be directed by. So when you go to a psychic, you go to a medium, listen, I just got news for you. For those whose relatives have passed away, there's no question you love them. I've got great news for you. Good and bad. If they did not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're in hell waiting to be vomited up. You're letting go? I didn't tell you to let go. They're in hell waiting to be vomited up until the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20. If they are born again, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, which means this: there are no spirits that are going to come talk to you of your relatives. Well, I went to a psychic and Aunt Lucy showed up. That wasn't Aunt Lucy. That's called a familiar spirit. That's a demon taking on the likeness of a relative to bid you to come and to participate with their antics. We cannot be ignorant. You do not want this beast following you around. He's only got one design. He'll placate you, pacify you, and even make you happy for a period of time. But when he's got you, he'll take advantage of you. And the job is to steal, kill, and destroy. Thank you. These are important principles for you to know. Well, I don't know, Pastor. You know, the Bible isn't clear. Oh, yes, it is. If a person turns to a medium or a fortune teller going after them, I will set my face against that person and will cut that person off from his people. That is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. Galatians chapter 5, 19 and 20. While you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. It goes through a list, and this is what it says at the end. Ready? Verse 20. I have before that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, the murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft will suffer the second death. Well, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. I've got New Testament for you. It's very simple. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. There was a young girl who was possessed at a very young age. She was a psychic, and she was owned by these men. And what these men would do would be going around in Acts chapter 16 and having her tell their fortune and making money. Well, she kind of heard Paul preaching and decided that demon was going to torment Paul by even disrupting and distracting the crowd. And Paul finally looked at that young maiden and said, in the name of Jesus, devil, come out of her. And the Bible says a demon came out of that psychic. A demon came out of that fortune teller. And from that moment on, she was changed. We need to recognize the master of our lives, the owner of our lives, has the right to possess us. The Bible's very clear that even in Acts chapter 19, verse 19, and you've never seen witchcraft until you start studying the Athenian people, the Hellenistic people of the time of Christ, of the time of the disciples and the apostles. They had gods, every kind of god you could imagine they worshiped. They had penis gods. They had female gods. They had just spiral gods. They had every kind of god. They'd set them up in their house. They would worship them in their house. They would practice sorcery. They would practice witchcraft. They would be casting spells. They would be telling people's fortunes. They would be doing all of this witchcraft that the Bible's talking about. But one day, some of them got born again. So many of them got born again that they decided they were going to turn from the witchcraft spirit and they were going to serve the living God. And they took all of their books. They took all of the things that they would use to worship with witchcraft. They piled them in a pile and burned them in Acts chapter 19, verse 19. The Bible says millions of dollars worth of witchcraft was burned that day. You see, when we play with demons, we've got to recognize that they have no problem coming on in and playing with us. How do I deal with this, Pastor? I went to a psychic. Well, you know something? When you're born again, hallelujah, if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, say amen. But if you have not bound that spirit, I knew a warlock in Newfield. And this warlock in Newfield used to have a stick, a spell-casting stick. Now, some of you just mock that. Only in this country do they mock that. It was his stick dealing with witchcraft. And I remember I went over to his porch one day and I said, hey, dude, you know, I was friends with his brother. I said, hey, man, my God's stronger than your God. And he goes, that's not true. My God's stronger than yours. He knew who God he was serving. And I said, watch this. Give me your stick. I took his stick. It was all carved. You know, I had a crystal ball on top. And I said, in the name of Jesus, devil given power, as he releases through this stick, I bind you in Jesus' name for 1 week. And for 1 week, he could do no magic out of that stick. He did not want his parents' house to sell. So he wrote a curse, popped one of the what do they call those, railings in on the staircase going up, and stuck the curse on a piece of paper and stuck it up into the railing. He said, this house will never sell. Not until I take that out. He said, because I cast a spell. See, in America, we mock at this. We say, oh, that's just kid stuff. But in reality, that's not kid stuff at all. That is very real. And as Christians, we cannot be ignorant of this. We have got to be aware of this. So what do I do, Pastor, if I participated with a psychic? What do I do if I participated with a medium? What do I do if my mother was a witch? What do I do? And I'm not saying she had a bad disposition. What do I do if my father was a warlock in a satanic covenant? Some of you in this room have relatives that participated with satanic covens. You have got to take authority over that spirit in the name of Jesus. You have got to say, in Jesus' name, I recant you, I bind you, I break your power over my life. You have no place in my life. I verbally repent and cancel the evil prophetic seed planted by the demon that spoke at me. You must take an aggressive posture because they're not there to play games with you. And if you think that this is a game, I remember I had one person, I just asked the demon to manifest themselves. And the demon manifests themselves to that person and realized it wasn't a game real quick. We need to recognize that we don't have to be afraid of the devil, but we can't be ignorant of the devil because God wants us free. And some of you have been tethered because you have never, ever, ever recanted your relationship with that diabolical spirit that you opened the door to. And that's going to bring absolute deliverance to your life. And you need to break that off in Jesus' name. And when you do, you're going to find freedom come to your heart. There's a need for this. And the body of Christ doesn't like to talk about this. This is not a sermon that everyone says, well, that made me feel just fuzzy inside. You might not feel fuzzy inside, but you can feel the weight go off your back. Can I hear an amen? There's other spirits, and I want to talk about them real quickly. I don't have a lot of time. Another one's called generational devils. Some of you have family members that have passed on demons in your life. You see, the fact is that demons are part of the lives of individuals. Now, you know something? If you're a dad, listen, this is why we tell dads to get your lives in order. If you're a single mom, you need to get your life in order. Well, why is that? Because parents can pass on the same spirit from one generation to the next generation. That spirit will go from you to your kids, to you to your grandkids. There is a need to take an aggressive posture in the spirit. Now, you see, this dad loves his daughter. He loves his daughter, but yet, what's he do? He passes on that spirit to the next generation. Some of you have been playing around with the demons of your family, whether it's alcoholism. You know what's amazing to me now? We call everything that's addictive now a disease. Now, if we call it a devil, you think we're out of our mind. But we can call everything that's addictive now a disease. But you'll find that what do they usually say? It's passed on from generation to generation. The drugs, just the disease now. Abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. The devil's come to steal, kill, and destroy. What are we looking at now? Welfare. Generation to generation to generation. I believe in welfare. I believe in what it was created for. But it was never created to be passed on from generation to generation to generation. The spirit of poverty has attacked even our region. Why is that? Because moms and dads will pass it on to the next generation. The Bible is so powerful in realizing that we have the right to say, this generational curse, this generational spirit has no right in my family. I take authority in Jesus' name. Well, you know, the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Like father, like son. You're just like your mother. And you know, some of it is flesh. I'm not saying it's all devil. But when you become arrested and owned by the same sins of your parents, it's usually a generational spirit. You know, one that's very powerful that people don't recognize is the spirit of suicide. It's very interesting to recognize how the spirit of suicide will usually actually jump a generation. Someone will kill themselves in this generation, a generation will jump, and then the next generation, and it will stay in that lineage. You'll find that it's usually not just a strange occurrence, but it will become a lineage factor. Well, why is that? Because the spirit of suicide, that demon of death who wants to take someone out of their destiny and destroy their life, will get them to the place of destitution, will get them to the place of depression, to where they'll take their own life. I'm here to tell you today that this is not a game or a religious story. This is not some preacher trying to scare you, but this is a reality, and the devils are subject to you in Jesus' name. Stop playing with the devil. Can I hear an amen? Well, you know, my father, he died of this. My uncle died of this. Everyone's died of this, and I'm going to die too. And you probably will. We've got to make decisions that if you are set free, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, that you are going to break off any diabolical attachment from your past. And some of you are playing with it. Listen, there were folk from this house that went to that lady down at the arena. Let me tell you, I was praying for you. But you see, you can pray for somebody all you want, but when they open the door, they're the ones that got to close it. I'm praying that whomever they are, the individuals, that you will come to a realization that you opened yourself up to the diabolical. And you have got to recant that in the name of Jesus. Well, you know, we don't really see that in the world. Oh, yes, we do. In the old covenant, what they did is they used to build their temples to their demonic gods up on the side of their hills. And God would tell them, if you're going to get right with me, you've got to climb that hill. You've got to destroy that diabolical temple, that little shrine that you have built. You've got to tear it down and make me the only God in your life. Do you remember when the Ark of the Covenant went into the Philistines, altar area with their God? They got up the next morning, and where was Dagon? Down, that whole statue, their God, was fell flat on his face. They picked him up, and the next morning, they came back down. And I believe his arms and legs and head were off. Because in God's presence, the diabolical do not have a right. We must take authority in our lives. Some of you have been constrained from forward motion because you've allowed a spirit of sexuality to come into your life. And every time you start taking that sensual devil, every time you start taking those steps for freedom, it almost is like you're drawn back into that same sin. Some of you have passed it on to your children. To break those generational curses. And you think to yourself, that's no big deal. I'm telling you right now, it is a big deal. For what you cannot see is more real than what you can see. This is not a game. This is your eternity. And you need to look at your life and say, what is there that is controlling me, manipulating me, that is not the word of God? Now I want to remind you, I've got 2 minutes and 50 seconds. Remind you how to tell the difference between a demon and the flesh. When you're born again, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 that you no longer are a slave to sin. It literally says that you are no longer a slave to sin. So that means that no sin that comes against your life has more power than the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. So you can exert even the spiritual power of God in your life, and or even you can exert your willpower to overcome those demonic those activities. When it is a demon is when you're striving to break it. You're striving to overcome it. But yet it is almost like it's captivated you. It's drawing you in so badly. It is so overwhelming to you that you cannot seem to get victory, that's when you identify a devil. That's when you recognize it's not of God. That's when you take a spiritual position and posture. That's when you've got to recant, renege. That's when you've got to stand up and you say, in the name of Jesus, you cannot pray out a devil. You cast out a devil in Jesus' name. The Bible says in the book of Luke that God said in Luke chapter 11, verse 20 through 22, but if I am casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. For when a strong man like Satan is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of all of his weapons, and carries off all of his belongings. And I want you to know that same Jesus that's in you, that same Christ that dwells in you, has given you all authority over the power of the devil. According to Luke chapter 10, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. And you can look at any devil in hell. Even Satan himself is subject to you in the name of Jesus. So the only reason a Christian can be bound is if they constantly open the door for the devil to participate with their life. Some of you individuals, your father was an alcoholic, your grandfather was an alcoholic, you were an alcoholic, you seem to overcome alcohol, but you consistently go back. Why do you think they call that wine and spirits? When you open yourself up to the diabolical, the devil doesn't need to take you over to where you're drinking a liter a week to own you. He just has to bring you to the place to where he can continue to get you to the place of ownership, where you must have that drink. I've seen people, listen, posting things on Facebook sometimes just is not smart. Well, I have to have a glass of wine tonight. You open yourself up to the devil. Well, a glass of wine isn't sin. How do you know that? It might be to you, and it might be to the person you just invited over to your house. Well, Pastor, smoking a joint is no different than someone taking drinking a beer. The Bible says, a word called pharmacia in the book of Galatians. It's called part of the sins of the flesh. It's called witchcraft. Galatians chapter 5. Look up the word witchcraft in the Greek. It says this. Pharmacia, which is drugs. Why do you think different other religions smoke weed and smoke other drugs when they want to have a spiritual experience? Well, that's not alcohol. Oh, come on now. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't take them down. See, we've got to have an awakening. Because in these last days, let me tell you something. The enemy is after you because he knows his time is short. If this was a religion, then I would never have to preach anything like this. But because this is not religion, but this is true spirituality, this is true kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan, this is true eternity. There is a need for a reality check in our lives and for us to say, what is it that the door I am opening up even of my past? You know, some of you opened up doors of your past. Oh, I just see that. Here we go. Some of you have opened up doors of your past in relationships. You're married and you opened up a door in relationship. I can see it in my spirit. I see Facebook. And you're starting to talk to a person from your past from Facebook. And your emotions are now being drawn to the person on Facebook and are leaving your husband. Well, what's wrong with Facebook? I don't know. You just made it really good. When you open the door, you allow the devil to come in. Be sober, be vigilant. For the devil, your adversary, looketh about like a roaring lion to see whom he may devour. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil. Which means if you have to resist something, that there is something coming against you. So being ignorant of what's coming against you does not make you smart. Being able to identify diabolical attacks and assignments against you and your family will enable you to never be tethered to the past, to never be tethered to sin, to never be tethered to a demonic spirit, but you can run this race of faith, this race to win, and you can cross that finish line and know that he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So today, some of you are going to have to break some things off. Can I hear an amen? This morning, if you could just bow your head with me, right after this service, I want to encourage you to run right over to catch the vision. You need to catch the vision of this church. We're going somewhere. We need you to go with us. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've always wondered what's wrong with psychics. There's nothing wrong with them. Preachers are always preaching against them. Hello. Today, you got your little wake-up call. Today, there's only one king that you can serve that will give you eternity in heaven, and his name is Jesus. I don't have a religion for you to join. I don't have a church for you to join. I don't have a club for you to join. God wants you to be a citizen of heaven. That means you confess him as Lord and Savior, and you ask him to be the king of your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, and you want him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait real long. Maybe you know you're not right with Jesus, and if you take your last breath, you're not going to heaven. You want to know that you know that you know that you know. Is there anyone in this room real quickly? I'm not going to wait long. You want to make your life right with God. Five. Come on, get your hand up. Four. Three. Two. Last call. One. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have all the pastors, all the ministers, prayer team come to the front of the altar. Today is a day of deliverance. Some of you have been pandering with the demon of alcohol. Some of you have been pandering with the demon of addiction. Some of you have been pandering with that demon that you went to the psychic with, the witchcraft spirits. Some of you are pandering with these things from generation to generation. And today, Jesus wants you free, and free indeed. Can I hear an amen? Today, you have the right to be free. Jesus paid the price, and today God has this just for you. So I want to challenge you. I'm going to release you. I'm going to let you go on home if you want. But today, I'm asking those who want to be free will come find somebody around the altar who will agree with you in prayer. And today, your life will not just begin. You already got saved, but now it's time to be free in Jesus. Can I hear an amen? So this morning, let's all just bow our heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for everyone who's heard this message. I thank you, God, that by the Holy Ghost, Lord, you'll not let it just sit down and resign, but Lord, it will rise up when the Spirit's doors are being opened. Father, I pray for those who are wounded and, God, have confusion. Lord, you are not the author of that, and I speak rebuke against chaos. God, I thank you that today, Lord, some people are going to be, Lord, I can just see to my spirit, that chain is broken and they're going to run a whole new length with you. Father, when freedom comes in their life from these spirits that have dogged their life. Some of you, your parents have passed on a generational curse that you don't want to go to you or your kids. I'm going to ask you to come on up and get prayed for. So today, if you want to be free, step right out of your seat. Find somebody around the altar. Get ministered to. Come on, this is your day. This is your day of deliverance. This is your day of freedom. Step right out of your chair. Come right on up front. Get ministered. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart.